El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Exaggeration of the reality. This is the way they're administering corporate.
Let me say this. Everyone's trying to build a wall. They don't know what the answer to immigration is.
So, can you tell a little more about what you might want for your birthday?
Can I get a puppy?
You want to get a dog.
And that's just the way it is.
He's huge.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night here. We, you know, we bring you the truth, baby, because that is our bitch on this here show. 877-876-PHIL. And we bring you the truth in ways you cannot imagine, in ways that we get away with stuff that would have had Don Imus not just fired, but burned at the stake. We get away with stuff that wouldn't have just had your average daily disc jockey or morning show host fired. It would have had them racked and quartered, you know, racked and quartered. But that's because we're smarter than the average cat. All right, coming up, Kick-Ass came out today in theaters. You know, we've been talking about this film, Kick-Ass, about the nerd superheroes. It came out today in theaters, but some critics like Roger Ebert are slamming it for being morally reprehensible. And I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm being very serious when I say, Roger, you know, I really have always loved the reviews of Roger Ebert. For that guy, though, to begin to criticize the moral, what he calls reprehensible films, well, his face is sucked in the way it is, which I find to be disturbing, and I ain't kidding. A city in Texas has revived corporal punishment in the schools, and our number is 877-876-PHIL. Tonight we want to spotlight our affiliate in Charlotte, North Carolina, WBCN 1660 AM, and Lexington, WLRT 1250 AM. WBCN, is that WBCN Charlotte? Could you double check those call letters, because those are legendary call letters? Double check the call letters on our Charlotte affiliate, would you please? Because the call letters that I know, WBCN used to be a rock and roll station in Boston, unless it's gone out of business, which happens, and people will sometimes get these, and I don't mean any disrespect to the people in Charlotte. I'm just wondering, sometimes they'll take these heritage or these legendary call letters, like we used to have a rock station in L.A., KMET, and I think that there's a talk station in Purdue that has it now, and we had a KRLA, and I think somebody else picked up on that. Oh, the Boston affiliate no longer exists, all right? Hey, then you got some good, you got a great set of calls in Charlotte, baby. WBCN, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Standing by right now to talk with us is Art Griego. Art is a retired commercial pilot, spent some 25 years flying commercially. He also flew a private charter service for a great many years, is semi-retired right now, but is on to talk with us about this latest story having to do with aviation. It's an interesting story. It is a maddening story for a lot of people. It's a frightening story. I dare say it's something we've never... I don't think we've really ever had to deal with, at least in my experience. I don't remember reading quite a story quite like this, and it's the volcano in Iceland. Now, thick drifts of volcanic ash have blanketed parts of rural Iceland as of Friday, as of today, as a vast invisible plane of grit drifted over Europe, emptying the skies of planes and sending hundreds of thousands in search of hotel rooms, train tickets, and rental cars. And there were people on the news today saying, I don't know how the hell I'm going to get where I need to go. I got to go from here, and I got to go to there, and I can't find a damn plane. There's also commercial air traffic that has been, not. And when I say commercial, I don't mean passengers, but I mean the transport of goods, the transport of mail, the transport of freight, all of that being suspended. Polish officials worried that the ash cloud could threaten the arrival of world leaders for Sunday's state funeral for their president, the late president of Poland, his wife Maria, in the southern city of Krakow. So far, President Barack Obama, Russian President Medvedev, and the German Chancellor Merkel are among those coming to Poland, and no one has canceled. The family insisted on Friday they wanted the funeral to go forward as planned, but there was no denying the ash cloud was moving south and east. The air traffic agency Eurocontrol said almost two-thirds of Europe's flights were canceled as of Friday. On the line with us from Santa Monica is Art Griego. Art, good evening.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Good. What do you say to this particular situation? It's wild, isn't it?
Well, the
information that I have is that the International Air Transport Association, and this was what you were alluding to just a moment ago, Phil, the International Air Transport Association, the volcano is costing in the neighborhood of $200 million a day.
Wow.
Southern Iceland, there's a glacier that's, that has been erupting for a couple of the second time in a month. It erupted on Wednesday. It's got ash going into the air. And the winds are pushing these plumes south and east. So it's covering Britain. It's covering Ireland. It's covering Scandinavia. And if I could be allowed a personal opinion.
Please, yeah. Because I want to know what the Phil, you're a pilot. Did you ever have to fly through volcanic ash?
No, I never had to fly through anything like that. But I do want to say this, Phil. You know, I never had to fly through volcanic ash, but if someone said to me that you've got a scheduled flight, there is freight, or there are passengers, or there is a scheduled departure to take an aircraft from point A to point B, and they said to me that there's a volcano of some kind, or there's visibility that's obstructed, I would take that into consideration, but I'm not going to go back to bed and hide under the covers.
Well, you don't think that's what these pilots are doing, do you?
Well, I think what these pilots are doing, if you're told by air traffic control, or you're told by your company, we don't think that it's safe to fly, and you say, yes, sir, and you give them a little salute, then you go back to bed, or you go back to, you put your slippers back on, and you hit the snooze button. That's just not my experience. That's not me. That's not what I would do. I'm not criticizing other people, but I'd never do it. You fly, you've got something you got to do, and I would keep it flying, and I have to tell you, I'm just a little bit shocked.
Well, are you shocked by the fact that, so you're worried that these pilots, whoever they may be, are not flying because of this ash cloud? Are you saying they could?
I'm telling you that as a pilot, I'm surprised at this current crop of pilots that they don't have a little bit more intestinal fortitude to get up there and, tough your way through it.
What kind of visibility have you got if you're flying through a cloud of black ash?
Well, the visibility is tough. Visibility is tough when you're flying through a cloud or weather formation. Visibility is difficult when you're flying through fog. Visibility is difficult if you have intense rain that you're flying through. If you have these thunderheads and storm clouds that you've got to negotiate, visibility is always going to be an issue. And let's face it, when you're flying an aircraft, Phil, just as when you're driving a car, whether you're going to get from point A to point B has a lot to do with your skill. And then there's just a lot of things that are out of your hands. But if we were to take every time that we flew an aircraft or drove a car, if we were to take into consideration what is not within our control, we'd never get behind the wheel of a car.
Well, but what I'm asking you is this. We're talking to Art Griego, who's a retired commercial pilot, about the volcano in Iceland, which, by the way, thank you very, very much, Associated Press, for the phonetic spelling, because I never would have figured this one out. Eyjafjallajökull. Eyjafjallajökull.
Well, I don't think that's either here or there. I think it's a little ridiculous, though, that we have to be worried about some of the...
Well, no, but what I was going to ask you is, if you're a pilot and you're flying through very, very thick, heavy ash that can get into the engines...
There's all kinds of things that can get into engines. I don't have to tell you or your listeners that there are... there have been episodes of birds. The most recent being this gentleman who... Everybody seems to think he's so wonderful, and he's, I think he's a competent guy, this Sullenberger, but you'd swear that he was Buck Rogers some great, like Charles Lindbergh.
You're talking about Sully, huh?
Well, yeah, Sully. That's what they like to call him that. Well, if he was so great, didn't he fly on a crystal clear blue day? Didn't he fly his aircraft right into a duck or something that...
Well, there was a flock of these. I don't want to get off on talking about him.
No, but my point is this. You're going to hit anything on a crystal clear blue day, visibility, literally, it could be hundreds of miles. And here's this guy, Sullenberger, that everybody wants to do a movie about and interview him, and he'll never have to work another day in his life with all of the money they're throwing in his lap. And he took off and flew directly into some duck. How a pilot can't avoid that. So you're asking me about ash.
Well, what's the verdict here? You know, if a pilot can avoid flying through something like ash that's going to get into the engine, that's going to obstruct visibility, shouldn't he ground his aircraft?
Well, I'm telling you that there is every manner of obstacle out there for pilots to contend with. You're never going to have a perfect day. You're never going to have a day where, you know, there isn't a possibility that something's going to get sucked into a turbine. You're going to lose an engine, and you're going to go from having a pretty pleasant afternoon to praying to the Savior Jesus Christ that at least your soul be accepted into heaven, because you can't account for the other people. I mean,
well, good God.
Well, that's how extreme it can get. So I say to these pilots, get out there and fly the airplane like a man, and I'm just a little disappointed. These pilots should take the chance and fly through that ash. I've taken chances in the sky. It's worked out for me. Let's, as the guy said in the movie we saw, man up, I think is what he said. And I think we should do that.
Well, all of this is coming down to me in my ears listening to you as a test of manhood.
No, it's not a test of manhood. It's a test of, are we going to get the commerce through? Are we going to get the air traffic through? Are we going to get the business done? And I've, you know...
And so get into that aircraft and fly through that volcanic ash, even if you can't see, even if it may get into the engine.
I'm saying fly through that stuff, fly into it, handle it, don't let it handle you. I mean, things are going to happen, but you've got to get that aircraft to where it's supposed to be. And if that means there's a black cloud of soot and volcanic ash in front of you, I think you've got to look at that and say... You know, if you were a human, I would wish you were burning in hell. That's what I'm going to send you to hell. That's what I used to do. When I would look at weather and I'd look at bad visibility, I would personify it and say, you're going to hell because you're not going to keep me from doing what I want to do.
All right. Well, Art, it's a very, I would say it's a tough way of looking at things. We're talking to Art Griego. He thinks these pilots that are not flying because of the volcanic ash, he's shocked, he's surprised, he doesn't think they're showing a lot of manhood, and they should be up there flying. There are people stranded in Europe, they want to fly, they're fine flying through some of this ash, the pilots should be too. Your phone call is coming up along with more from Art Griego. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know that I would be very comfortable in an aircraft, though, with a pilot saying, I'm flying it through that volcanic ash, come what may. I don't know that I have to be where I have to be that bad. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we're talking here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show about a volcano in Iceland that is such an active volcano that the ash, the soot, whatever is being expelled from this thing, and I don't know anything about volcanoes, folks, other than what you and I both learn as we go through the day, this has caused a visibility problem. Now, Art Griego is on the line with us, and you're saying visibility, no visibility. These guys... You're blaming the pilots, huh?
I absolutely am, because, look, the air traffic can recommend, they can say a lot of things, but these pilots can say to air traffic, they can say to the company, they can say to the aviation authority in their respective countries, look, I got a living I got to make, and maybe you guys are comfortable sitting here in a conference room and charting all of the delays and how much money it cost us because we couldn't sell candy at the you know, duty free, and all of these other silly pursuits that these penguins, as we call them, because those are birds that don't fly. That's what we call people who are ground personnel. A bunch of penguins are going to keep me out of the sky. Get out of my way and let me do my job. Phil, last year we had the Alaskan volcano, Mount Redoubt. I flew through that because we had packages, we had materials, business materials to deliver. In a bad economy.
What about the lives of the pilots then? The pilots themselves.
In a bad economy, with people trying to get business done, what kind of a man am I where I am going to say, oh, I don't want to fly and get these business materials through because I'm scared? And meanwhile, we've got an economy that is going rapidly down the toilet, faster than any thick brick-like, I'm sure you understand these bowel movements that don't float.
No, I understand. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego on the line with us. These pilots should have more guts then, huh?
Well, I hate to call them out, but I just get in the aircraft, fire it up, and get going and quit with a lot of this nonsense about how you're afraid to fly through ash. My God, you'd swear that they were flying through ACAC fire or they had there was a war on and someone was trying to shoot them out of the sky.
877-876-PHIL. Is the number. Speaking with Art Griego here as he talks about the volcanic ash keeping pilots out of the sky, and he thinks for no good reason. Here is Lori. Lori, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Art. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us. Something that I'm wondering, you know, maybe as a commercial passenger, is it would maybe set me at ease more knowing that it really wasn't up to the pilots. You know, manhood or wherewithal to power through, but aren't there some type of parameters that volcanic ash would fall into to say these are the safety parameters, these are the risks,
what you do is you have a visibility problem and you fight through it. I've had visibility problems. Phil, you told me you flew in Fiji a couple of years ago where there was no visibility.
Well, that was a frightening, very frightening ride.
Well, but did you make it okay? You know, did the plane land? Did you get out and have your vacation and swim in the pool and have those nice drinks?
Yeah, I did, Art, but, you know, it was frightening.
Because the pilots knew what they were doing, and I'll tell you one more thing, Lori, because those pilots that Mr. Hendry was flying with had the guts to get into that plane, and it didn't matter what was up in the air. They were going to power their way through it and get Phil and his wife to their little resort or whatever they're doing. Now, I'm talking about delivering packages, delivering materials. It could be for the military. It could be, you know, maybe your business, Lori. You want me to sit on the ground crying because there's a little bit of ash, and meanwhile your business is going in the tank?
I think what I would want to know is there
I wouldn't want to do that.
Assessment that says it's this risk so you ground or it's this risk so you fly.
Right. What is that, Art? Do you know?
Say that again.
What is the risk assessment? Lori's asking a very good question. What is the official language that you would consult to know whether you should be flying or not?
Well, yes. the pilot manual tells us that once you're in control of the aircraft, you're the captain in the sky. You will take that plane where you say it goes. And so all bets are off. Now, what we do, because we are under civilian authority, or in some cases military authority, we go along the charted flight path that they have allotted to us with the understanding, they know and we know, that really we're in charge, and wherever we want to go, that's where we're going to go.
I have an interjection.
See what I mean?
If you don't mind, is this a visibility in the air?
You also have to trust your gut. You got to trust your gut. You have to trust your gut, and my gut says you can fly through ash with a minimum of risk.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, is there a visibility risk in the air, or is it a visibility risk when you land? What is the ash? Is it the whole thing, or is it just up in the air, or is there a visibility problem when you land?
I'm glad you brought that up. It's in the air. It's not when you land. And that's what a lot of these guys, it's in the air. You fly through it, and when you go to land, it's way, way, it's at a higher elevation, at a higher altitude, And by the time you're landing, you're not landing in volcanic ash. If I'm landing in Paris, you know, you better hope and pray that we don't have a volcano in Paris or else it's the end of the world. But no, we don't.
Okay, Lori, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Art Griego. We'll be back to talk about this volcano and flying in it.
Phil Hendry.
Well, a plane goes where I say it goes.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Every night you can watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of our show. Just go to philhendryshow.com. You can also get the download of yesterday's show right now. You can put it into your iPod, listen to it wherever you are. The kids don't have to hear it. The kids won't be scandalized or shocked. You can hear it. You can snicker and laugh, and they'll say, Mom, what are you listening to? And you can, well, you can give them a little corporal punishment. You can backhand them. I'm joking, of course. That's philhendryshow.com. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're speaking with Art Griego, who is a retired pilot and often speaks to us on the program about matters concerning aviation. Art, the question with this volcano, and then I want to get back to the calls that we have. A lot of people wanting to talk about this, and that's because of the fact that we fly. We may not be pilots, but we fly, and we want to know, am I going to be flying with a pilot who's going to be powering this thing through an unsafe conditions?
So I'm telling you right now, I'm telling your listeners right now, if they have not been, if they're for whatever reason not on an aircraft because it's been grounded, due to this volcano, I want to apologize to them on behalf of the entire aviation industry because they should be flying right now. If they didn't have a pilot who was a, forgive me, P-U, and you can spell it.
No, I understand.
All right. Now, they should be in the air right now, transporting or delivering materials for their businesses, keeping their lives going, keeping their businesses going. In the middle of a recession, keeping a product going through the air back and forth between their partners, the people they do business with. But instead, they can't dig themselves out of this economic hole that's been dug for us by Obama because some guy in Iceland is afraid of a volcano. I got to tell
you. Well, look, we don't have to start commenting on the American economy. You know, I'm simply saying.
Well, look, Phil, pilots are a science. One of the things that is most disturbing is how superstitious pilots are. You can say a lot of things, but if you say volcano to a pilot, they begin to think of, you know, like the movie Lost, or the TV, or I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show.
It's a TV show.
All right. They start thinking of Lost. About a year or two ago, there was a photograph in a newspaper that showed natives in a Stone Age tribe looking up at a helicopter that was flying overhead with spears. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That is, believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds, that is a fear that a lot of pilots have, that they're going to look out the window because they have no idea where they are, and there is a native painted red ready to put a spear through their skull. And I can tell you that it...
What? I don't understand this. This is a superstition?
It's the fear of being lost, yes.
877-876-PHIL on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Greg this evening. Hi, Greg. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Phil. I'm Art.
Yes.
Art, I'd like to take some exception with you because I am a flyer. And when I
get
on a plane, I put my life into that hand of that pilot to trust that that pilot is going to make the right decision and not a decision
into one hand?
On any economic factors. I want him or her to get me there safely. And I'm speaking from a point of view. I'm a police officer, and I've spent most of my career in specialized units. And we operate a lot on gut feeling. But when we are introduced with new information, then that gut feeling has to be set to the side, and we have to make a logical decision on whether to go or not to go. And to me, this is some new information that says don't go. Whether your gut feels like you can make it or not, there are people's lives that hang in the balance, and I don't want my life.
Well, you don't want a pilot that's afraid of being forced down in terrain inhabited by some tribe, do you?
I don't. I don't care.
What do you mean a tribe?
The volcano represents to a pilot distant lands where his aircraft is going to be lost. I just saw a thing. It would be interesting to this gentleman, Phil. The B-29 bomber they found in Libya 17 years after they lost it. And they finally found it, and they found the remains of the crew, and it was tragic, but at least they found it. Well, in that 17-year period, they thought that it had been sucked up by, you guessed it, flying saucers. You don't want that, do you?
Well,
look, I don't think we're not talking about flying saucers. You're saying that pilots are afraid to fly it through volcanoes because of what?
Of a Stone Age of getting a spear.
Well, Art, in my business, law enforcement, it doesn't matter what my superstitions are.
Right.
Lives have to be taken into consideration, and I'm held liable
exactly.
for making the best decision possible.
What are you superstitious of? Black cats?
No, we have superstitions in dealing with traffic crashes a lot because most officers killed in the line of duty are killed in a traffic crash, and we believe the longer you stay on the road, the more likely you are to have a traffic crash.
You're going to keep right on going to an accident or to someone that needs help, even though you may be superstitious that your number's up and you're ready to head west. See, that's what I'm saying.
No, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it safely. We're going to do it safely,
safely. If you're chasing a guy, you got to go all out, right?
No, not he's got to make sure that he doesn't hurt any civilians.
Excuse me, Phil. I'm talking to the police officer. I think he's got a little more information than you do. Pardon me, but I think he does.
Well, tell me how I'm wrong, Greg. You guys can't go screaming ass through the streets, not taking the safety of civilians into consideration. Listen, I appreciate your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you cut him off.
I've got to get moving.
But he was about to answer and take my side and say, no, you're wrong, Phil. Art's right. I may be superstitious of a black cat. Or whatever happened, you know, a traffic accident, but I'm still going to go and help someone who's in trouble, even if that means I've got to claw my way along the earth after my car has burned around me and there's my partner's dead. I will still try to help someone.
I don't know what police code you're reading from.
I'm just saying, don't you think that's what a police officer would think?
I don't know. I don't think he would think that. 877-876-PHIL. Steve, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Great show. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, I have to take exception. Art, when's the last time you flew commercially?
Oh, it's been a while. 15 years.
Okay. You were with a major airline?
Yes, I was.
Well, surely you know that glass and
what do you do?
The sand and dirt form a glass over those turbine blades, and eventually it'll put out the
sand
engine.
Sand and dirt. Yeah.
When it hits the high speed turbine blades, it forms a coating of glass on those blades.
Right. Yeah. Are you afraid of that?
No. We used to dump walnut shells or water into the engines in Vietnam to knock that off.
You can't do that
when you're flying at 30,000 feet.
This is the time to take a cruise to lose. What's that mean?
Take a cruise.
I'm talking about the volcanic ash. You know, and there's a volcano, and these guys don't want to fly through it. Why? Because they're superstitious, because they're afraid. Oh, no, there's dirt.
Well, because NOAA and their operations officers won't let them. I'm glad they're willing.
You know, the evil dirt. I'm so scared of dirt. Why would you be afraid of dirt?
Look, this man is saying that there is a chain of command of some kind, civilian or otherwise, military or otherwise, that says you can't do...
Everybody knows that a pilot can go up to some penguin and say, that bird is mine, I'm getting it off the ground... I've got mail, you're talking about a business. I had a very dear friend of mine that opened a T-shirt business. And I'll tell you something. This guy, all it was a T-shirt business. He had the T-shirt concession for a minor league hockey team. a pilot friend of mine, rather than let this man down so he couldn't open up his merchandise store the next day, a pilot friend of mine flew through dangerous weather into some thunderheads and lost a wing. But
lost a wing?
Yes, but got those T-shirts to the store where they bought them. I hope they bought them, because this guy risked his life. He lost an aircraft. So this is what I'm saying, Steve, and best of luck to you, because I think that you're a good man. But I noticed, did you say he's a helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
Well, then he doesn't know it. Helicopter pilot, he has no business talking to me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You had a friend that had...
I had a friend that had a T-shirt concession for a minor league hockey or rollerblade. I forget what it was. And this friend of mine flew those T-shirts, and I'm telling you, he lost half of a wing. He went down 300 yards short of a home with a family sitting down to Christmas dinner. And he landed probably about 200 yards, 150 yards short of plowing through that home and ruining the holiday of God knows how many people. But he landed. He got the T-shirts out of there. This guy, I don't know if he sold them or not, though, because I checked, and I know that the team isn't playing anymore.
What was it?
It was a rollerblade or roller hockey. I forget, but I'm just telling you, that's the commitment they have.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a phone call here. We're coming up on a break. Here is Mick. Mick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego.
Art, what is wrong with you?
Yes, sir.
There is not a single pilot
that can divert from their courses. You should never ask people what's wrong with them.
Yeah, I will ask you what's wrong with you. I'm not...
You should say to them, well, there's nothing wrong with me, sir. I could say the same thing, what's wrong with you?
Well, fair enough. Let's just get to a question. Here's the question. If
All
a
right.
pilot diverts from their flight plans that has been scheduled through the FCC, are they
right.
not allowed to be shot down without responding for more than 7 minutes?
FTC?
Yes,
did you say
FTC.
The FTC? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. The FAA is the...
FAA and FCC, as far as if you fall out of communications with your plane.
FCC? The FCC is what runs radio stations.
No, but he's talking about communications with the plane.
Yeah, but that was the first thing he said. He should have said FAA, and he didn't. And I'm curious.
If they
are
pilot,
you a pilot?
Okay, well, I'm going back to your point on where your point
are
was.
Are you a helicopter pilot?
A pilot, when they get in the plane, the pilot is allowed to go wherever they want, compared to what you were saying, the penguins dictate. If a pilot gets in that plane that he wants to go based on a sandstorm, no, we're going to fly through there and we're going to Ramstein, even though the plane is scheduled to land in, let's say, Hamburg. They try to fly over Ramstein. They're getting shot down. You can't divert
no,
wherever
if
you want
to go. If you're in the middle of a volcanic eruption, nobody in Ramstein is going to be shooting at anything, because all they can see is black, for as far as the eye can see, pitch black volcanic ash. And what they can hear is a very sexy pilot saying, I'm going through it. I've got stuff I got to do. Yes,
okay, I understand
pilot,
you have to make a living, but my question is, if it's not, if they don't even have the visibility to shoot at a plane from the ground, then how is that plane supposed to even land safely?
I don't know, but we're talking about two different things.
All you're thinking about is the bottom line for what your paycheck is.
I'm telling you that whatever that penguin's thinking with the gun on the ground and he can't shoot, that's his problem. I'm taking this bird to where it needs to go because I've got T-shirts to deliver, or I've got humans, or I've got a cargo. Or, yeah, you're right, I got a paycheck to pick up. And I'm supposed to sit
there on the ground,
and I've got to wet myself and go, ah, help, help. It's volcanic ash.
I got to take a break. We don't have time for the second question, but I do appreciate your call there, Mick. 877-876-PHIL. And a little bit of the sarcasm, Art.
No, but a lot of these people want me to sit there and go, ah, or, you know, how do they do it? Help, help. It's a volcano, and there's a pygmy with a spear. Do you understand that we have a professional flying corps of pilots that are superstitious of being speared by a pygmy and put in a pot. That's what this is about, Phil. And
what do you mean? That's what...
I'm telling you, the volcano brings to mind to these pilots, oh, God, you know, naked prey. And they're going to be coated in mud and somehow tenderized like they've got Baja batter on and they're a piece of fish. Get it?
Boy, is he bent out of shape. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, like they got Baja batter on and they're a piece of fish. 877, how is it we got from pilots flying to cannibalism? 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Whitney Houston sucks it up big time in a concert. I mean, is her voice shot? Wait till you hear this. Well, it ain't that bad. No, actually it is. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hell, it's a
pigment. Phil Hendry. Because of that. And we have Art Griego, just a few more minutes, and who's going to let us in on a little bit of the training that is being proposed by some you call forward-thinking individuals in the aviation business.
Phil, there's a lot of people who believe that our pilots need to be given some real-time training and so that when they encounter something like volcanic ash, which the last time I checked doesn't carry, it's not a creature. I get frustrated.
What do you mean not a creature?
Volcanic ash is not a living thing that's going to go into the cockpit and strangle you as a pilot. I get very frustrated with how much of... I know I can't say the word.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to give you an opportunity to show me this, an example of this new training. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ron, listening to us on WWKB tonight in the Buffalo area. You're on the air with Art Griego, Ron.
My hands are sweating. I can't believe what I'm listening to. I got in the car, I'm listening to I just couldn't believe what this guy is saying. I mean, I know he's retired. I mean, with no pun,
what do you mean your hands are sweating?
But he is this guy insane? Is he calling from an institution? I mean,
are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
No, not you.
Well, I think you need to talk. I'm the pilot.
Oh, you are.
Is this guy insane? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the pilot. Am I insane? You don't sound like you've got a very good grasp of the reality you're living right now. You're talking to me. I'm Art Griego. I'm a pilot.
This is why I'm calling.
Are you
talking about reality.
You want to get a pilot?
Listen.
You're not a pilot.
No, I'm an outfielder. If I were reckless with one person, one life,
here's a tip for you.
I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't imagine flying a plane with 250, 300 people in it when you know it's the potential risks. Does that make any sense?
I can't imagine. Because you're in healthcare, that's why you can't imagine flying a plane. But I would tell you this, you know, if you've got some blood or plasma or you have medicine that needs to be delivered and you need it there at the hospital you're working at, and you got little Susie Cream Cheese who's flying the plane and he got scared and he had to land it, and...
Oh, you know what? You're turning all of this into a big macho thing, Art, and I don't know that is... You know.
Well, no, I'm not turning into anything.
Yeah, you are. It's a big macho thing. What if he crashes the plane?
Then he's not a very good pilot, is he? Maybe if you grew a, you know, I don't want to say this, sir, but if you had a, you grow a pair,
and
you can take a few more risks. Yeah, you're on. I'll take over, Phil. He's on.
It sounds to me like you question your manhood, that you have to fly and prove you're a man. If you talk about the economy, what would it cost if you took a plane down? What would it cost? How many lives would you affect? How many jobs would be lost if there's 300 people on the plane?
Right.
How about if you do this,
Art? 300 jobs.
How about if you put 250, 300 people of your family on the plane and fly through the ash? Could you live with yourself?
I would do that except for the fact
all I could say,
that my family is...
Listen, thank God
my
you're
retired. Employed and they couldn't get the time off. But listen to this. This is
thank
what we
God
are using right now. This is what we're using now. You know how many pilots can listen to this? to that is you've got to be able to be a pilot that can listen to that and still carry on a conversation. Most pilots can't.
I don't understand.
What I just played there, and I don't know if the gentleman could hear it. That is the sound of an aircraft. That's the sound of an aircraft that's about to crash. We play this for new pilots. If they can listen to this and continue eating their lunch and chatting, then maybe they've got something. Oh my God, the plane's crashing. The guy's, so? I'm still alive.
Hey, Art.
You know what, Art, you're an idiot. You know, you're a colossal freaking boob.
This guy, am I still on? No, you're not on now.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You don't sound a Phil, though, Phil. You have to go.